Hey, I'm glad that you took the step today to join us so we could worship together on this holiday weekend, whether you're in the room or whether you're watching online. Maybe you're out of town or maybe you're quarantined, but glad for those of you online, you could still join us online. Hey, today we are going to talk about your job, your work, your faith, and the relationship between all of those things. So according to various workplace surveys, the job satisfaction of Americans runs right around 50%, give or take a few percentage points depending on the year, but it's always kind of right around that 50% mark. So that means half of us don't like our jobs, right? Can I get an amen for those that don't like your job? No, just kidding. Half of us, on average, we don't like the jobs we have. And so for those of you that fall on that side of the survey, I want to suggest some other job possibilities for you to let you know that it could always be worse. All right, so here's some unpleasant jobs that I found I want to share with you here. This is a roadkill remover, so you could work as a roadkill remover. Job's probably not too bad in January or February, but in the heat of August, oh, I mean, like, I've driven by those bloated raccoons with the legs stuck up in the air, you know, and like at 60 mile an hour, it stinks. I can't imagine what it's like to be right there loading them in the back of the truck. So there's a job possibility for you. I'm going to take a hard pass on that one. The next one I have, a bug spray tester, right? Like, could you imagine, like, if you didn't get an effective formula, you're going to be miserable for a few days. Look at all of those mosquitoes there. That's crazy, crazy. All right, here's another option, another tester for you. This is a deodorant tester. And I would love to see the training video for this job. You know, where they're like, take your nose and shove it as far as you can in the person's armpit and take a big whiff, right? Like, so there, you could be sticking your nose in strangers' armpits every day. Makes your job maybe seem a little bit better. And then the last job I found was this one. It's a lifeguard at the Olympics. So talk about kind of the most pointless job ever, right? I love the look of the lifeguard's face, just sheer boredom. And so moment of honesty, like who wants to volunteer that this is the way you feel at work, right? Like that's maybe the expression that you wear when you're at work. Anybody? All right, well, hey, whatever you feel about your job, right, the reality is we have complicated relationships with our job. Some of us love them, some of us hate them, some of us wish we could find a job, some of us can't wait till we retire so we don't have to go to the job. But today, I don't want to focus in on the job as much as I want to focus in on your work, because there's a difference between your job and your work. Your job is where you can do your work. But it's not the only place you can do your work. You can do your work even if you don't have a job. You can do your work if you're retired. You can do your work even if you're a kid. There is work to be done, and a job just happens to be where you do your work. But work, sometimes, it's a four-letter word for many of us. We think of it in negative terms, don't we? And we can't wait till we don't have to work. We work for the weekend. We can't wait for vacation or retirement. But how should we feel about work? I mean, is it just a necessary means to an end? You know, like, got to work to get paid so I can buy food and have a place to live. Or is there a greater purpose for your work? How should we feel about it? Well, I think Scripture gives us some insight. And one of the things I love about the Bible, this ancient text still has relevant insight for our lives today, and it can help shape how we see and understand work. So when you read through the Bible, you don't get very many paragraphs in before you discover that somebody's working. Genesis 2:2 lets us know that God is the one working. And it lets us know that all of the creative act that God did to create the world and to shape and form the universe was part of his work. That was the work that God was doing. So we have a God that works. And then a few verses later in Genesis 2:15, we come across where God creates man and he places Adam in the garden to do two things, to work it and to take care of it, right? So we have a God who works and a God who created humanity to work with him, all right? This idea that God's original intent was for humanity to be his co-workers, not like coworkers that you have in your place of work, right? I heard somebody once say that coworkers like Christmas lights. They all hang out, half of them don't work, and the other half aren't that bright. But that's not the kind of coworkers that God's looking for. This is a sacred partnership, right? God created Adam, placed him in his good creation, and said, hey, take what I created and care for it and cultivate it and steward it, right? We have a sacred invitation to partner with God to continue the work that he's doing in the world, to be his co-worker. And that Hebrew word, when God places Adam and tells him to work the garden, that Hebrew word for work and the Hebrew word for worship share the same root word. They're related. So in a sense, Adam's work in the garden was part of the way that he could worship God. And so Adam's work was a gift that he could give back to God to honor him and to worship him. And all of that, all of those descriptions of work was before sin even entered into the picture. So that was God's ideal. His intent was for us to join him in his work. And as you read through Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve chose to pursue their own desires and go their own way instead of follow God's path, sin entered the picture. The world was broken and fractured. And then it says that the consequence of that was that work would become difficult and toilsome. But the work was not the punishment. The work was not the consequence of that sin. The consequence was that it would become hard and difficult. And I believe that the invitation for God to let us in as his co-workers still exists. God is wanting us to partner with the work that he's doing in the world, because God is working to redeem and restore the world. Right, the whole story of Scripture leads up to the point in Revelation 21 where God does just that. Jesus returns, heaven and earth come together, and there is wholeness once again. God redeems and restores the world, and he definitively deals with evil and injustice and takes care of all of that. And now the world is as he originally intended it to be in the garden, in this new Jerusalem, heaven and earth coming together. Like, that's the direction that God is heading. All of his work in the world is leading to that point to be able to redeem and restore humanity in his creation. And he's looking for co-workers to partner in with him in that work. And yet we take this gift of work, this invitation to partner with God, and we take it and we turn it into a self-focused endeavor. And we think so negatively of it, like, oh, I got to go to work, I got to do this. And then we take the work that we do and all the effort, and the end of that is just focused on ourselves to get more money so that we can buy the things that we need or the things that we want. And we miss that there's an incredible invitation that we can partner with God, be his co-worker, to bring about his work in the world. So with all that in mind, we were talking about from Genesis to Revelation and God's work to bring wholeness and redemption and restoration. I want to take a look at a scripture in Matthew 9 that just hit me in a different way this week. As I was preparing the sermon, I came across this scripture in Matthew 9, and I read it in a different way than I've read before. So Matthew 9:35 says that Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. What's Jesus doing? He's doing his work. Right? He's doing God's work. He's proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. He's healing diseases and sicknesses. He's bringing wholeness and restoration to the people around him. He's doing work. It says, then when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And seeing the crowds then drove him to say this. He said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. God is looking for workers of the harvest. God is looking for people to partner in with the work that he's doing in the world. Now, I don't know if you've been around church, but if those of you that have any amount of time, you've probably heard this verse, and odds are it's been used to say, hey, pray for workers of the harvest because, you know, we need some more volunteers in the children's ministry, and we need some more small group leaders, so let's pray for workers of the harvest. And those things matter, but my question is what Jesus is talking about just about what happens in the church walls on a Sunday morning? Or is it bigger? Is the work of the harvest about what happens in your life every day of the week, in your job and at your home? Is there a way that you can partner in with the work that God is doing to bring about his kingdom? What is that work of the harvest? So as we read through the scripture, we get some context of what the work of the harvest may look like and what it may entail. We see, first of all, I think the work of the harvest is people-focused. Work of the harvest is people-focused. Because when you read through that scripture, you see that Jesus looks at the crowds. He has compassion on them. It's the people that drove him then to say, we got to pray. The harvest is plentiful. Look at all these people. The harvest is plentiful. And we got to get workers of the harvest here. So any kind of work of the harvest is going to be focused on people. On bringing about the wholeness to their lives, about meeting their needs, some of the things that Jesus was modeling. And then I think the second thing, work of the harvest, is kingdom focused, right? What was Jesus talking about? What was he teaching? He was teaching about the good news of the kingdom. And that of all the things that Jesus taught about, the thing that he talked about the most in his ministry was the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Letting people know that the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is coming. And what does the kingdom look like? And all of these things. And he's saying, this is good news. And for us, we kind of miss that. We don't talk about kingdoms too much. But for the first century listeners, they would have understood, right? They lived under the kingdom of Rome, the Roman Empire. And they understood what it looked like to have somebody in ultimate authority and how you had to orient your life towards that and how it impacted every aspect of life. And they lived in the underneath the boot of the Roman Empire. And then Jesus is coming in and saying, hey, a new kingdom is coming. There's a new rule and reign, a new way of doing things. And this kingdom is about healing. This kingdom is about wholeness. This kingdom is about compassion and doing these things. It's a different kind of kingdom. And this kingdom is breaking through. It is here. Right, and the early Christians understood that Jesus' death and resurrection was the inauguration of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is now here on earth as it is in heaven. But yet we also know it's not here fully. It's not fully complete because we have the promise as Christians. We believe one day Jesus will return and fully establish his kingdom and bring everything into right order and bring wholeness and restore what is broken. And so we're in this interesting place at this point of history, right? Where there's a kingdom that's here, but yet not fully established. The kingdom that's already, but not yet. And I think the work of the harvest, what God is trying to bring about, is co-workers that will partner in the work that he is doing to bring the kingdom a little more and a little more and a little more in the lives of the people that you come into contact with. The work of the harvest is partnering with the work that God is doing in the world. So the question is, how is God working in the world? What kind of work does God do? There's a guy named Robert Banks, and he wrote a book called Faith Goes to Work. And in it, he outlines the six ways that God works in the world and then tries to help connect some dots to work that we do and maybe in our jobs or in our homes with the way that God's working in the world. Because any work of the harvest is going to reflect, is going to partner with the way that God is working in the world. So I want to read through these six ways that God works, and I want you to think through your job or your life. Even if you're retired or you're a student or if you're unemployed, you still have work to do. And there's still things that you do in your world that can line up with the work that God is doing. So think about how this applies to you and what work that you do that may line up with the work that God's doing. He said the first way that God works in the world is redemptive work. This is God's saving and restorative actions. Right? We have a God that saves what is lost and he redeems and restores what is broken. So any work that does those things is a reflection of God's redemptive work in the world. So think about this. Think about the counselor that works to repair a broken relationship. Right? That's a reflection of God's redeeming work. Think about the therapist that helps correct broken and wrong thinking so that can bring wholeness to somebody's life. That's a reflection of God's redemptive work. Think about this. Think about even like a mechanic, right? You bring a car in that's broken and he restores it. He brings wholeness to the vehicle so that it works again. That is a reflection of God's redemptive work in the world. Any kind of work that does those things can be a way that God uses your work to do his work in the world. So redemptive work, God does creative work. This is God's fashioning of the physical and human world, right? He creates. So any work that creates, you know, art and music, construction work, where you take something that wasn't there and then you create something out of that. But also any work that brings order in chaos, because that's what God did in the original creation, brought order out of chaos. That's the 7 days. If you look at it, it's the first 3 days are about creating space, and then the last 3 days are about filling that space with things. So there's an order and a structure to it. So any work that brings order out of chaos is creative work. So administrative work and managerial work and accounting work and those kind of things helps is a part of God's creative work. The other way God works is providential work. It's his provision and sustenance for humans and creation. So any work that brings human flourishing, that provides for others, is a part of God's providential work. So farmers, retail workers, factory workers, production, manufacturing, that all is a part of providing something for people to provide for them to meet their needs in the world. It's a reflection of God's providential work. The other way God works is through his justice work, right? This is God's work to right wrong, stop evil, and bring goodness to all. If you do any of those kind of things, that's part of God's justice work. So this may include like law enforcement, anyone in the legal profession, anyone who's an advocate, giving a voice to those who are overlooked or under-resourced. It's part of God's justice work in the world. He also does compassion work. It's God's involvement in comforting, healing, shepherding, and guiding people, right? Because God heals and comforts the broken. So if you do any work to do that, so anyone in the medical field, mental health field, anyone that helps bring guidance and direction to people's lives is a part of God's compassion work. And then the last way that God works in the world is through his revelatory work, right? It's God's work to reveal his truth to the world. So any work that seeks to learn truth, to teach truth, to discover truth is part of that revelatory work. So teachers, instructors, students, your work is to discover truth, right? So that's part of the work that you get to participate in. Sciences, discovering God's truth in the world around us. It's all part of those types of work. So the question is, what is the work in your job? Which of those things reflects some of the things that you may do in your job, whether it's work that you get paid for or not? What do you do that lines up with what God's doing in the world? And if you're a parent, you're doing all of that work, right? When you're doing all of that work, if you're a parent, some days it's more like more justice work than other days, you know, like stop hitting your brother or hey, get off the shed, you know, like it's that kind of like justice work. Other days it's more revelatory work, right? Like, honey, this is what happens when you put gum in your hair. You know, like now you know the truth here. But you're doing all of those things. So the question is, what is the work in your job? Because just about every job has some part of it, some work in it that reflects what God is doing in the world. And when you do that work with the motivation to bring wholeness to the people around you, when you do that work with the motivation to help bring about God's kingdom a little bit more in your world, on earth as it is in heaven, right? When you do that motivation as a way to worship God, then God does something through that. It's honoring to him, and he makes an impact in the world around you. So a while back, I talked about this idea of the priesthood of all believers. You know, I talked about how we are everywhere temples and everyday priests. And this concept, this biblical idea, is this idea that God sets apart his people to function as a priest. In other words, to be this connecting point between the people around you and God. and to represent God to the people and represent people to God. It's this kind of this priestly role. And this New Testament idea takes this and says it's the priesthood of all believers. So every single one of us that is a follower of Christ, we function kind of as this priest or this pastoral role. So then Martin Luther, who is a father of the Reformation, took this idea of the priesthood of all believers and he applied it to work. Listen to what he says, how this idea impacts our work. He says, the priesthood of believers doesn't just mean that the milkmaid and the plowboy can now do priestly work. It means that the milking and the plowing are the priestly work. So here's the thing. There is no such thing as a sacred job and a secular job. It's all sacred. I don't care where you work. I don't care what you do in your job. There is an aspect of it that reflects God's work, and he wants to partner with you to bring wholeness and restoration to the people around you, and you get to function in that way to glorify God. That's the work of a priest. A lot of times, people like me stand up in churches, and we tend to elevate these, you know, professional clergy roles. I mean, we celebrate the missionaries and the pastors and the worship leaders. And it's a right thing to do. Those roles should be honored. But what happens is subtly then it sends a message that any other job is not quite the same. It's not quite as important. And we celebrate people that move out of, you know, the corporate world or the secular world and come and work for the church. And we applaud them for using their gifts to benefit the church. But what that sends the message is, well, if you're not working for the church, then your job doesn't really matter. And I'm here to tell you that that's wrong. Your job, your work matters to God. And it's a reflection of the work that he's doing in the world. And he wants to use your work to partner with you to bring wholeness and restoration to the people around you. Your challenge is just to figure out, what is the work in my job? What is it that I do that brings wholeness to the people around me? What is it that I do that helps redeem and restore, or helps create, or helps provide, or helps bring justice, or helps bring truth, or helps bring healing? What can I do, and how can God use that? And then when you begin to see that, it changes your motivation for how you do your work. You begin to see that your work does matter, and it does have an impact. You're not just clocking in and out and trying to get done and on with your day. You can change the world. You bring about the kingdom of God through the way you do your work as you partner with God. You see that? Martin Luther talks about how we do our work matters too. Listen to what he says here. He says, the Christian shoemaker does his Christian duty not by putting little crosses on the shoes, but by making good shoes. Because God is a God interested in good craftsmanship. Right, so I'm not talking about putting a little Jesus fish on your business card. I'm not talking about playing Christian music at your desk, hoping that everybody within earshot will convert. I'm talking about doing your work to the best of your ability, knowing that God's going to use that to further his kingdom and to bring wholeness to the people around you. Right? So if you work in a factory, you got to think, how does the work that I do, this little lever I pull or this button I push, how does that impact a real person? And you realize that this car part that I'm making is going to go into a vehicle that somebody is going to purchase, and it's going to be their transportation, the way that they can provide for their family or get to their job. Somebody's kids are going to be sitting in this car, and so I'm helping provide for them, right? It changes the way you see your work. Right? It's the old parable, right? That three guys are working and somebody comes up to them and says, what are you doing? And one guy says, well, I'm laying bricks. And they go to the other guy and say, well, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm building a wall. He goes to the third guy and says, well, what are you doing? He says, I'm defending my nation. Right? Like that's what you're not just putting a little part in a widget. You're helping provide for somebody, which is a part of God's work in the world to bring his goodness and his wholeness, which is another step closer to God's ideal that one day he will fully restore. And we get to have a part that we get to play in it through our work. And then our work is a worship to God. And so we want to do our work to the best of our ability, right? Like Christians, we should be the best workers out there. We should work the hardest and to our best ability because it gives glory to God and it reflects his work in the world around us. Within your job is a sacred work that partners with how God wants to move in the world. And when you see that, man, God can use it. It's like my friend Erin, who's a nurse, and she talked about how she was serving a mom who just lost her baby. And she said she just sat there on the hospital bed with her in silence, letting her know that she's not alone in her grief. That's the work of the harvest. It's like my friend who has a side job of flipping houses. And when he goes to look for a house to buy, he doesn't look for the house that can make him the most profit. He looks for homes in neighborhoods that are overlooked or neglected, knowing that if he can restore a house in those neighborhoods, it's going to bring the value of that whole neighborhood up. And knowing that whoever moves into that is going to have a quality home with working appliances. Like that, that's the work of the harvest. It's the barista who not only makes excellent coffee, but works hard to memorize the names of her regular customers so that she can call them by their name to give them respect and dignity. That's the work of the harvest. It's the HVAC repairman who puts in extra hours of overtime just so the elderly couple will have heat in the dead of winter. It's the work of the harvest. Inside every job is a sacred work that God wants you to partner with him in bringing about wholeness to the world around you. And as you do that work to the best of your ability, it brings honor and glory to God. It opens the door for further relationship and further conversation. And it's just a way that the kingdom of God comes little by little by little. Right? In the Gospels, how did Jesus talk about the kingdom of God coming? It's not like it's all at once. He said it's like a mustard seed. It starts small and grows. It's like yeast working its way through the dough. It starts small and spreads throughout. How does the kingdom of God come to bear in Kokomo, Indiana? It's through every one of us doing little acts of work that redeem and restore the world around us. And God is honored and glorified through that. Your work matters, and God wants to use that. So think about this. Imagine, what would it look like if Christians all throughout our community found the work in their job and began to work to the best of their ability, knowing it's the way that they worship God. They put out quality work, but then God uses that to bring about wholeness and restoration in people's lives. How would our community be different? How would it look different? God wants to work through you. So may you find the work in your job. And may you do that work to the best of your ability to bring honor to God. And you do that work with love and compassion to bring wholeness to the people around you. And may God use your work to further the kingdom a little bit more every single day. So as we wrap up here, I want to take a moment and I want to acknowledge and honor the work that you're doing. And I want to pray a commissioning prayer over you. Right? In the church, we pray commissioning prayers like when a missionary goes out on the missions field or when a pastor's started a new church, we'll come up and commission them and pray this prayer of blessing over them. It's a way to let them know that they are not alone in their mission, right? That we're partnering with them and we're supporting them. I want to pray that over every one of you as you go out into your week, into your jobs, into your work. Right? And this applies whether you have a job or not. We all have work to do. Even if you're retired, you have work. Some people tell me that once you retire, you have more work to do, right? You're busier than ever. And it's because God can use you. If you're a child, you still have work to do. If you're unemployed, you still have work to do. All of us have work. When we begin to find that work and do it, then God is honored. So I'm going to go back through those six ways that God works. I'm going to describe those. And as I'm talking about that type of work, if it applies to anything you do in your job or in your life, then I want you to stand up. And then stay standing, and I'll read through all six of those categories, and then I'll just pray kind of a prayer over us as we dismiss. So we said that God works through redemptive work, his saving and restorative actions. So if you do any kind of work that redeems or restores what is broken, that brings about wholeness, I invite you to stand up and stay standing. Right? So this may be clergy, counselors, therapists, social workers, people involved in community development, any work that restores things that are broken. So mechanics or IT or skilled trades repair, anything that you involve, you take what's broken and you bring restoration to it. I invite you to stand up and stay standing. We said God does creative work. It's the way he fashions the human world and brings blessing to it. This may include artists, musicians, writers, architects, or anyone that brings order out of chaos, administrative assistants, managers, accountants, anything that creates in any kind of way. I invite you to stand up to acknowledge that you do that God's work in that way. God does providential work. It's the way he provides for the world around us and helps the world sustain. This may include farmers, food packaging, retail workers, restaurant workers, people in the service industry, manufacturing or production, delivery drivers, any work to help provide for others in any kind of way. I invite you to stand up. We said that God does justice work, his work to right wrong, stop evil, and bring good to all. So if you do any of that work, I invite you to stand up. This may include law enforcement, attorneys, judges, anyone in the legal profession. It could involve advocates giving a voice to the under-resourced or underrepresented. If you do any kind of justice work, stand up. See, God does compassion work. It says help work in healing, guiding, shepherding. So if you do any of that work to comfort, I invite you to stand up. This may be doctors, nurses, physical therapists, dentists, anyone in the medical industry. It could be social services, mental health. Could be financial planners, guidance counselors, any kind of work to comfort, heal, shepherd. We said God does revelatory work where he brings about his truth. If you do any work to discover truth, I invite you to stand up. Teachers, instructors, professors, anyone involved in sciences in any way, students, your job is to discover that truth, so stand up. And then lastly, if your heart is beating right now, you have work to do. God wants to use you. And I want you to look around at the workers of the harvest. And I want you to know, listen, you are the answer to Jesus's prayer. Do you get that? He saw the crowds and he had compassion on them and he said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray for the workers of the harvest. And I'm staring at a room full of workers of the harvest that God wants to use your work to bring about his kingdom, to bring wholeness and hope to the people around you. The question is, are you going to do that work? And you discover and you find the work in your job and how God can use it. And God gets to move. So let me pray for you. God, I thank you that you are a God that we can partner with, that you choose to use us. And Jesus, I want to say thank you that we have a hope and a future that we can look and say, yes, our God is going to redeem and restore the world. Jesus will return and establish his kingdom and that we get to play a part in that. Oh, so humbling, Lord. And so I want to pray for every worker of the harvest standing. God, help us. Open our eyes and our hearts and find the work in our jobs, the work in our daily lives to see how you can use us to bring wholeness to the people around us, to partner with your kingdom and to bring it to bear on those situations. God, give us the strength to work to the best of our ability to bring honor and glory to you, knowing that our work is a form of worship to you. So God, I pray your blessing over every single worker of the harvest. I pray that you empower them and guide them and use them in the weeks to come to bring honor and glory to you and to bring about your kingdom and to bring wholeness to a world that so desperately needs to experience that. So Jesus, may you be honored and glorified. And everybody said, amen. Awesome. Thanks so much for being here.